Okay, our call to worship this morning is from Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Its subject matter is Jesus blesses little children. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, especially for the blessing of our children. Please help and guide us to raise them in your light, Lord, so that they might walk in your way always and protect them, Lord. All these things, our Father, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Pastor Milton Douglas is our speaker, and I turn over the podium to you.
Well, it's great to be back again, to just to visit you folks and to share the Word of God with you. And you have a great group of people here and great fellowship with one another. And I just appreciated the song that Ron was singing there, "I Believe in God," a story that I remember of a man by the name of Dave Reaver. I don't know if some of you have heard of him. He was over in Vietnam. He was with the Navy. And they were on a boat out there. He thought, well, if he joins the Navy, he won't have to go to Vietnam. And he did go to Vietnam. He was out there on a boat, and they were going back on a river, and he was getting ready to throw a grenade. It was a phosphorus grenade, and it burns very, very hot. And he was getting ready to throw the thing, and whether it misfired or a sniper hit it or what, it blew up right beside his face. And he jumped into the water, and it kept on burning and burning and burning. And he said, "I believe God. I believe in God." And it's like, I think, 13 months of recovery in a hospital. His face is all scarred up. You know, he did survive. He is ministering. But he believed in God. And he's got quite a story that he tells. He tells about, he goes to high schools, or he used to go to high schools, and he ministers to the young people, and I guess I had a video of his. I showed it to the boys at Sky Ranch several times, but that was one of the things. He believed in God, and they put him in a stretcher, and he burned through the stretcher, and he fell, and then they put him in the helicopter, and he was getting ready to go back, and they thought he was dead, and he muttered out there that he was still alive, and he got a long story. He was recovering, and his face was like a roll-on on the one side, and he was trying to drive, and that was later on, and he would put the blinkers on, and he'd shift over one way, and if he heard honking horn behind, he tries to put a little humor in with his story, but he believed in the Lord, and sometimes we go through very difficult things within life. I remember when our son was injured severely. We got the phone call. It was up here at Platte, north of Platte, that he was on his motorcycle and a guy made a U-turn in front of him. We got the call from the highway patrol. They said, "Your son has been in a severe accident. They're life flighting him to Sioux Falls." We were up in Buffalo, and We didn't know whether he'd be alive or not when we got there. We got ready to go all the way from Buffalo, I don't know, 400 and some miles, I think. And as we were driving up by Newell, we saw a rainbow, and that we kept on trying to believe in the Lord. It was sort of hard, you know, and he was a grown man, but he's still our son. And there can be the various things that happen within life that we go through, and perhaps each of you would have a story of how God was with you. God was with you during a difficult time. We can trust in the Lord. Well, this last week, I was at a camp, And it was a kids' camp. It's been a long time since our children, we have two children, and they're both in their 30s. And for me to take care of some 10-year-old boys, it was a challenge. And I thought, boy, can I do that? And I don't know, sometimes at night I was tired trying to, and the camp was there in the Black Hills, near, well, about 12 miles from Deadwood. And the cabins were up the hill, and so you got to walk back and forth, up and down the hill. And then Wednesday was water day, and everybody got soaking wet. I decided I'd just jump in the lake. You know, they had a water slide. So I thought, I'm already wet, just go down. I just had my jeans on, and I was wet from head to toe, you know, but children, and I want to speak about children. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and want to just bring out some that children are a blessing. Children can be a challenge, and they can be an example. There are things that they can teach us older folks. In Psalm chapter 127, and it's there in your bulletins also. It says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful that we can read it, that we have freedoms within this nation where we can gather together, that we can fellowship together with one another. Thankful, Lord, for the many messages within your word, how you, within this passage, speak about children and how important they are. Lord, I pray that we would recognize the children within our lives and endeavor to love them, endeavor to respect them, endeavor to train them, to teach them about you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of children being a blessing, and this is something that is so important for us to recognize, there are those today, and I'll read some statistics in a little bit about some that do not like children. In fact, they will put them to death before they are born. But for us, you know, they can be a blessing within one's life. When we look at that passage there, the third verse, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I had to look up that word heritage. I don't use that word very often. Within the dictionary, it says property that descends to an heir, or something transmitted by or acquired by predecessor. And when we think of children coming from the Lord, that they are allowed to be part of our lives. The New International Version, it says, sons are an heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Within the New Century Version, it says, children are a gift from the Lord, babies are a reward. And I like that word where it says a gift from the Lord. When we think of these as a husband and wife get together, and then there is that start that God has allowed men and women to have that creative ability to have children. Amazing, marvelous. And to think of the responsibility, you know, for young people or older folks as they get together, and then there are children that are born. It can be some awesome, marvelous things that God allows, but that it can also be the responsibility. And to think of taking this responsibility lightly for whomever, men and women, young people, to get together in a sexual relationship, and then the children would be possibly born. What a great responsibility that would be to take those children. And I remember both Karen and I were in our 30s when we were married. And so I remember David, our oldest, and he was the one who was in the motorcycle accident, that he was born in Rapid City. And we were on our way back to Buffalo, and we stopped in Sturgis. And I thought, here's this little tiny bundle. Boy, what did I get myself into? You know, and to think of, you know, there's the moments. I remember walking at night, you know, walking back and forth, and he was crying and crying. I thought, Lord, is this what you have said? You said, you have come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. And is this abundant life? I don't know. I don't know if I like walking in the middle of the night with this little crying baby. But to think of the many moments, the hours, the weeks, the months, the years that a person would have with those children. And it can be a real blessing, but there are the challenges as well. But I want to just briefly mention to you some about within the Old Testament. I'm sure you're aware of Sarah and Abraham, and here they were supposed to have children. This was something God had promised to them, that they would have children. Time went on, and time went on, and years went by, and years went by. No children, no children. And I'm sure you're also aware and know the story of how Abraham decided, and, well, Sarah was involved with that also, that, well, here's Hagar. You know, maybe that's the way God is going to bring children. And then there was Ishmael that was born, and then later on, Sarah and Abraham did have Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And something that said would be basically an impossibility in the natural sense, but with God, all things are possible. And the story about Samuel, and once again, you I'm sure you're aware of how Elimelech and Hannah, that they didn't have any children, or at least Hannah didn't have any children, and she prayed. The scripture says there in 1 Samuel, but Hannah had no children. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. This was something that was very important, especially in Old Testament times, that there would be children, there would be offspring. This is something that was important within the culture, for there to be the children that would come, a real blessing for them. And we can look at some other scriptures that speak about children being a blessing. Going to Genesis chapter 1, it says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. When we consider that our earth, and there's many, many people around the world. When I was in the service in the Air Force, I had a chance to go to from Vietnam to Tokyo, and I saw the masses of people. They were rioting. That was in 1969. And I said, here's these people just going down. They closed down the railroad tracks. Masses of people. And then you think, where will those people spend eternity? When we think of our world, what is it, something like 6 billion people or something like that, that's within the world. Someone has stated that our world is not overpopulated, though. In fact, the entire population of the world could live in the state of Texas in single-family dwellings with front and backyards. But yet, the fertility rates are going down. And when we think of South Dakota even, you drive and drive, and you go from Presho to Rapid City, and you go from Rapid City up to Buffalo, and there's a lot of open spaces within here in South Dakota. But there are a lot of people within the world. Yes, that's true. But we're not overpopulated, and it's good to have children, that they are a blessing. Also in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Further on in that 31st verse, it says that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. His creation was good. When there's the fruitfulness, when there is that multiplying, that's good. That's good. When we look at this passage there in Psalm 127, the fourth verse, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. That there can be that blessing and that help from those children. Maybe not so much now as there had been in the past. When we think of the pioneer days within our nation and children growing up. I grew up in a little farm back in Minnesota, and yeah, we had to milk the cows and feed the sheep and stuff. Dad had to work in town also, where the children can be a help within the home. They can be a blessing to the family. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Children born to, and this is from Charles Spurgeon, he says, children born to men in their early days, by God's blessing, become the comfort of their riper years. A man of war is glad of weapons which may fly where he cannot. Good sins are their father's arrows, speeding to hit the mark which their sires aim at. What wonders a good man can accomplish if he has affectionate children to second his desires and lend themselves to his designs. To this end, we must have our children in hand while they are yet children, or they are never likely to be so when they are grown up. It seems like those years go by swiftly, and you think, well, sometimes will they never end? But then there's the empty nest, and the children are gone, and yet you love them, and you want them to come home. You want them to come back, and you want them to be a part of your life, but they'll soon be gone. Let the Lord favor us with loyal, obedient, affectionate offspring, and we shall find in them our best helpers. We shall see them shot forth into life to our comfort and delight, if we take care from the very beginning that they are directed to the right point. And that's so important, that we as moms and dads direct them to the right point, that we do our job to teach them the ways of God. They have to make the choices. We can't do it for them. They have to make choices themselves. But we need to point them in the right direction. There can be the joys that children can bring within a family. We weren't sure, as old as Karen and I were, whether we would have children. And I remember thinking back, and I thought, I was almost getting resentful that we wanted children. And I know there's some people that don't want children. There's the statistics and about abortion, and you perhaps have heard these before, that some that don't treasure the children. When I worked there at Sky Ranch for Boys, up there in Northwest South Dakota, right on the Montana and South Dakota border, these young guys coming from Sioux City and Sioux Falls and Rapid City and wherever, I think so many of them, they were just sort of an extra within the family, whether they were really loved. And it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort for moms and dads to be with their children, to train their children. Today, there's so many things that can take our time. There can be the videos that the young people play and the television and on it might be. I'm not even sure of what all goes on now within the young people's lives. It seemed like I've been out of the circle of things that are happening, but there are those that put their babies to death. They don't want them. They've entered into a relationship, and yes, nature takes its course, and there's a baby on its way. And yet, the mom, the dad, for some reason, for whatever reason, they decide that it's time to put that baby to death. Some of the statistics states that based on available state-level data, an estimated 906,000 abortions took place in 2015. And I've divided that, 906,000 divided that by 365, and it ends up about 2,482 abortions every day of the year. 2,482. But there are some good statistics within these that the number has been going down. That was 906,000 in 2015. In 1996, there was 1.36 million abortions. Yeah, from over a million to less than a million. From 1973 through 2011, nearly 53 million legal abortions occurred in the United States. Sort of interesting statistic about our own state. The highest number of 2014 abortions occurred in California, New York, and Florida, and the fewest occurred in Wyoming with 120, and then South Dakota with 550, and then North Dakota with 1,260. So South Dakota ranks second from the lowest number of abortions. But just to think of 550, that's still more than one a day. And far as I know, the abortion clinic in Rapid City is closed, but not so in Sioux Falls. But to think, what happened? What went on? Was there a young lady, a young man that decided, well, we don't want children? Or something that they didn't anticipate? And I think today, with the knowledge that children have and young people have and adults have, they know about how with a sexual relationship there is that possibility of children. Rather than a blessing, rather than that anticipation, yes, I want a child. I want that little one within my life. I want to raise that little child. At camp this last week, I only had a couple boys to take care of, to be the leader for them. And you know, you think, wow, boy, they got a lot of energy. And to think, well, you have to be with those children basically 24/7. Well, during the school year, there's the school takes care of the children for a while, but to raise that child and to instruct that child, rather than being a blessing, it might be just a challenge. That would be my second point, that there can be that challenge of raising those rambunctious little children. There can be those that are hyperactive. There can be those that don't have very good manners. They're just a child. They're still learning. And for us to respect them, for us to love them, for us to understand them or try to understand them, they're a child. This last week, at the camp, we're supposed to have a half hour of feet off the floor, feet off the ground. It says, okay, we got to go to our rooms. We got to either sit down and keep our feet off the floor, whatever, or get on our bunks and get our feet off the floor. Well, guess what? Here are these two boys, they got by the window. They're heading off the window. I said, no, you do not go out the window. You know, and that wasn't only the things that, and you can imagine perhaps with your own children at times. They're a child. I says, no, you do not go out the window. And there's that instruction that we would have to give to those children time and time and time again. And sometimes they will learn, And sometimes they will forget they're still a child. There is still a challenge. In Proverbs 22:6, you perhaps know that scripture, and I'll turn to it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up the child. All the different things that child needs to learn. When we had our children, I thought, here's this little tiny baby, and he's still real smart. He can't do very much. You know, God has given him a good brain. He's very limited. All he can do is cry, and he feeds and cries and goes to the bathroom. But he still wants to manipulate. He still wants to get his own way. It's still a challenge. I remember when David was about, I think about 6 years old or 6 months old, maybe not even that. And here I was holding him, and he was crying and crying. And I says, you don't need your diaper changed. You don't need any food. I don't think you need anything. You want your mom. I said, uh-uh, I'm big. I'm going to hold on to you. You're not going to get your way. And sometimes these, whether they're 6 months old, or whether they're 6 years old, or whether they're 16 years old, they're a challenge. The training that takes for us and for us as parents to have the wisdom and the knowledge. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom in how I can train my children. What should I do when I have a problem child? What do I do when things that aren't supposed to happen. Lord, help me within this big, big job, this big responsibility that you have given me. I have these children that you have allowed me to take care of. Lord, now help me to train those children up in your ways. And then we let them go, and hopefully, you know, they keep on following God, that they keep on serving God, that they live for God. And you know, after David's accident, you know, he had been working on the railroad. He was a conductor, and then he was an engineer on the railroad, the Burlington Northern, Santa Fe from Aberdeen. And I think God wanted more from him. And now he's, whether he's following me necessarily, but he's planning to go into the ministry in some way, Lord willing. How God would direct him. And Ruth, our daughter, is a paramedic in Hot Springs, and then in Custer as well, that she works both places as a paramedic. The challenges of childhood. Train up a child. Train up a child. Lord, how do I do that? How do I do that? And we as parents, we make mistakes. There are things he says, well, I should have done this. I should have done that. Lord, forgive me. And then maybe we have to say that also to our children, Lord, or to them, I should have done better to you. I should have spent more time with you. It is stated that it costs, when we think of the challenge of just providing for children, that the financial cost can be very high, and not necessarily does every family spend this amount. But it's stated that the cost to raise a child in the United States is down from last year, but the experience still requires spending a pretty penny. A new report by the U.S. Department of Agriculture suggests that in 2015 dollars, a middle-class married couple will spend between $12,400 and $14,000 annually. And then when you multiply that, it ends up to be about $234,000 from birth to the age of 17. $234,000. I don't think we spent that amount. I'm sure we didn't spend that amount because we didn't have that amount. You know, so you can get by with a lot cheaper than that. He says, you know, sometimes they might have to eat a lot of peanut butter sandwiches. Maybe they don't get everything that they would like. Maybe they don't get all the toys of life. You know, maybe their mom and dad's car is a little bit older car that they have to drive and so forth. Those calculations don't include pregnancy or college-related costs. And it says that in 2014, it was $245,000. So $245,000 down to $234,000. I don't think we spent, I don't know how much we spent because we didn't have that much. But a challenge, the challenge of having children, it's big, big responsibility. And these two boys, I had them just for a week, and you know, I want to go back and visit them, you know, go to their homes, you know, and as far as I know, neither boy has Christian moms and dads. That, you know, they were exposed to Jesus, they were exposed to the message of salvation, you know, but it was just 1 week, well, actually Monday through Friday morning, and you know, a little bit of time, it can be very meaningful, and it sounds like you'll have camp coming up shortly, and I would encourage you to send your children, you know, to camp if you can. Learn about the Lord, and it can be some great spiritual experiences that they would have at camp. The challenges of having a children. And then also the example that children can have to for us. The examples. Sometimes children act spoiled. Do we as adults ever act spoiled? Do we at times ever act like a little kid? Does someone, would they say to us, well, would you grow up? And that we're not acting too mature? But sometimes those children, and first of all, I want to just talk a little bit about the negative aspect. Sometimes those children might be selfish. They might be stubborn. They might be spoiled. They might be fearful, wondering, well, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. The one little boy, we were supposed to line up the other morning, and here we were lined up, and he wasn't there. And my responsibility to keep track of him, I says, where is he? So I started looking around, trying to find him, and I couldn't find him right away. Well, then sure enough, he showed up. But I think he wants to be independent. You know, and he was only 10 years old, but you know, it was our responsibility as leaders to keep track of those children throughout the day. And sometimes we as older ones, that we might not be too mature. We might not be too grown up in a sense, but with God's help, that child can grow up. With God's help, we as adults can be more mature, that we can grow in the Lord, that we can be more like Jesus Christ. As I was growing up, I have a brothers. Well, there was four of us boys and three brothers, but one brother was 14 months younger than I, and I'm a twin, and he's a twin, and so there's two sets of twins. But Chuck and I, we'd fight, seemed like. And I'd have to go to him, and I'd say, Chuck or Charles, please forgive me. I said, Lord, I don't like doing this. Lord, help me not to do these things so I don't have to come back to him time and time again and say, please forgive me, I'm sorry. And as we grow up, you know, those children, they might be learning hygiene, how to take care of themselves. You know, from that little baby, there's so many things that they learn. Just amazing number of things that they learn within the first few years. But then there's how to get along with other people. And with God's help, we can grow. We don't have to be as children. And that's in the spiritual sense as well. There are those that would have the spiritual milk, but I think it was Paul that talked about that he wanted them to grow and to have the meat of the word. And for us as Christians, that we would grow in the Lord, that we would be mature in the Lord. Yes, we will still probably fail at times. We're still in this human flesh. We haven't gone on to eternity to be with the Lord. And as long as we're here, there will be times when we will falter and fail and sin. But for us to press on, Paul said, I press on, forgetting the past, press on to the prize that is before. Whether that's that child, there's all kinds of games, all kinds of competition there at camp for the kids and sometimes for the leaders as well. And within our Christian walk, we are to press on. There's the example, the positive example. First of all, I want to read this, a negative example in Luke chapter 7. We read how Jesus was dealing with some of the people of his day. In Luke chapter 7, it's interesting how Jesus relates to these people of that time in verse 31. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? He's talking about the men. He's not talking about children at that time. He says, they are like unto children. You see, he's liking these men, like they're just like children. They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. So here Jesus is, he's approaching these men, and he says, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? They're just like kids. They can't be pleased. No matter what I do or what John the Baptist does, it doesn't please those people. And sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but you can't please everybody all the time. And that's true, you know, with us as adults. But here Jesus is looking negatively. He says, these people are just like kids. They're like spoiled kids. They don't know what they want. And I guess I'm not going to consider the political scene at the time, but you wonder sometimes what's going on in the politics of this day, that people are upset one way or the other and whatever. But then there's also the passage over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. And I'll read it from the back there so you can follow along if you have it. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That humility, that innocence of a child, yes, to come to Jesus Christ. It's important that we come with a humble spirit, not self-independent, not, well, I look what I've done, look what I can do. Yes, sometimes as adults, we can look back and say, well, this and this happened in my life, and this is what I did. But coming to Jesus and accepting him, we have to be like that little child. Yeah, children sometimes can be very hardened, even at a very young age. There were some of those young boys at Sky Ranch, they were tough. They were hardened even at a young age. But normally when they're young enough, there's that innocence. And this talks about babies, bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. I don't believe the babies are knowledgeable and can be aware of sin and accept the Lord, but there's that humility of that child, that innocence of that child. And for us to come to Jesus, recognizing our need, we can't do it on our own. We can't save ourselves. It's only Jesus Christ, because of his blood his shed blood that we can have salvation. That's the way we can know him and we can have him as our Savior. I want to close with just a little story that was told at camp this last week. The speaker, he had a little fish bowl, just a little one, and there was a little fish in there, a little goldfish. And he asked the kids, he says, "Well, what should we call this little fish?" I says, "Well, let's call him Fred." So here's Fred in his fish bowl. And so then our speaker, he takes a little net and he catches Fred and he takes him off. And it seemed like Fred, he thought, "Well, maybe he hasn't done the right thing." He says, "Oh, let's pray for Fred." So we prayed for Fred. And the kid started and says, "Well, you better get him back in the water. You better get him back in the water." "Well, no, we just have him out here for a little while." And finally, the kids were starting to almost scream. He says, "Get him, he's going to die if you don't get him back in the water." He would have died, and the speaker wouldn't put him back into the water. And one of the things that the speaker wanted to impress upon all of us, it was very impressive, is, okay, here's the kids were hollering, "Get Fred back in the water. Get that little goldfish in the water. Otherwise, he'll die." But the message for all of us, young and old alike, was there are people around. There are kids around. Young people, for these 10-year-olds, and I think they were like eight to 12-year-olds. And, you know, they're classmates. But then for all of us, when we think, we're so concerned about, and I mentioned, asked the speaker later on, I says, "Well, was it like a 25-cent fish?" And he said, "No, you had to pay $3. And so he says, "Okay, we were concerned about a $3 fish." He says, "Well, get him back in the water." But what about our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones that do not know Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do what we can to share Jesus Christ so that they will not go into a godless eternity without the Lord? It's something that really struck my heart. What am I going to do? What should I do? Lord, give me wisdom. Give me the knowledge. Give me the passion. Give me the love so that I can tell others that they know about Jesus Christ. When we're concerned about a $3 fish, what about a young person or older person that has a soul that is so valuable to God Almighty? We've come into this world and God has allowed us so many years to be here, and then there's an eternity, but to share Jesus Christ with others. And it was very impressive, you know, to see the concern for just a little fish, but we can point people to Jesus Christ, the living water, the one who can give life, an abundant life, can take away our sins, can forgive us, can give us peace and joy within our lives. God offers so much, and for us to share that with others within this community, there's the various churches. What a responsibility that we as individuals have, but as churches, you know, to share Jesus Christ with those within this community. And I'm new within, and it seems like we're down at Wiwila, and I said, I got my relatives there. Who do I share Jesus Christ with? Well, I guess I can share with my relatives too, some of them, but we need to find opportunities to minister, to in some way befriend a person, love them, and point them to Jesus Christ. Well, let's close in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for this time and recognizing the children, that they are a real blessing. But we recognize also that there are delinquents, that there are rebellious ones, that there can be the challenge. And we find and see that there are those that aren't going the right way. The challenge that we as parents would have. And Lord, I would pray that for those here that might have younger children, I'm thankful for the ministry that this church has to children, that they minister to many children within this community. What a great ministry that they have, and I pray that you bless, that you would just guide the ministry of Awana and whatever other ministries that they would have towards children of the Sunday school. And Lord, be with, I pray. And Lord, we recognize the examples that you've shown within your words. Yes, children were men that were acting like children, people acting like children, but also those little ones, and how we are to come to you. We need you, Lord, within our lives. We need you to help us. We need you to guide us. We need you to direct us day by day that we might minister to others. Point them to you, O Lord. Help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the benediction, I have chosen Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you this week.